I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Tuesday, August 13th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing fine, as fine as I can do.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful. That is great.
As fine as I can be. You betcha. And it's a very fine day, and I hope you're fine as well.
Yeah, I am. I have no complaints. My father's good to me. He really is. I'm going to miss my grandson. Taking him back to Pittsburgh, catch a flight back to Colorado. And he's been a little over 2 weeks. I'm going to miss him. It's been a lot of fun to have him around.
Oh, I bet it was. When does he go back?
Tomorrow. Yep.
Yep,
I hate to see him go. And he didn't want to go, but you know, life is life.
Yeah, I do. I always spent a lot of time with my grandparents. I probably spent more time with my grandparents than I did with my parents. Spent a lot of time with them.
But, I understand that.
But gold today, it was incredible. I woke up, turned on Bloomberg, and gold was 15. This is a futures contract. Was like, we'll have to see what it was. I haven't followed it today, but early morning trade was 1542. And I thought, wow, 1542, gold is exploding. And but in the spot market, we had 1524 as a high, and currently at 1503, down $8. So it did recover. We had a low, huge swing. We had a low of 1479.
Wow.
And I know. But it sprang right back. And so actually it was a really good day for gold. Silver was down 12 cents today, still above 17 and 1702. And a high was 1751 and a low of 1641. So when they opened the markets, they just got hammered after a while. And but they did reverse themselves. Platinum was down $2 at 858. Palladium was up 27 at 1464. And I'll ask you the big question, Butch. Why do you think we had this big reversal in the markets?
Well, you know, there's a lot of reasons, I think. I do believe, I know some of them, maybe the deal with China and some other things. The markets were, as I heard, last time I heard, the day were down under 26. Are they still down today?
Well, they had a big, they were up 400 or 500 points today.
Well, they'll back up again. Okay. Well, I heard it's 25.8 something or whatever.
Well, we'll see what it is here in just a few minutes. The USDX today was stronger, 0.43 at 97.82. Crude oil was up big, $2 at 56.99. Paper markets today, well, you know, the Dow was up almost 500 points. And now we're only looking at 382, 26,279.
That's still way down from what it was.
Yeah, but you know what? These numbers are really...
They don't mean anything, do they?
They don't mean anything. The NASDAQ was up 2 points, or I should say almost 2% at 8,016, up 152. That's a huge day for the NASDAQ, and that was all based on a lot of the tech, and I'll tell you why here in just a second. The S&P was up 1.5%, 2,926. 10-year yield, 1.68. I mean, that moved up, but it's still way low, up 0.04. Let's see, futures contract December still 1515. Hong Kong was down a little over 2%. I'm just surprised that isn't down more with everything that's going on over there. We'll be talking about that also.
Oh yes, yes.
And you know, Bitcoin is dropping like a rock too. That's down almost it's now below 11,000. And it was moving up there quite nicely, but that's beginning to reverse itself. And I knew he wasn't going to put those tariffs on China come September. You know, I believe they're playing a dangerous game. And I'm not even so sure we're in let me be the first to say this. Are we really in a trade war, or is it all a game?
You never know, do you? You never know.
So,
you
saw the same thing. We saw the same thing with Mexico. Oh, if you don't do what we tell you you're going to do, we're going to slap these tariffs on you. And I was the first one who said, they ain't going to do that. Now we have these other tariffs. that was supposed to be put on China beginning September 1, ain't gonna happen, and it's not going to happen. I mean, it's... But that was why the markets were up. And the U.S. delayed the tariffs. The Trump administration announced a delay on select Chinese import tariffs, bringing buyers back into the equity markets. Tech shares led by Apple pulled all three major indexes higher in the news, easing fears over the contentious U.S.-China trade wars, and of course the growing signs of the imminent recession. So yeah, so you got one good day, and you know we're not going to put tariffs on China until later on, and hey, we're out of the recession. Isn't that great?
It is great.
I wish things only happened that fast.
Well, do you think it's going to mean the farmers won't be hurting? Because I'm just reading that the average farm is in debt $1,300,000 because, you know, there's been terrible weather this spring. They didn't get a lot of planting. What they did, plants aren't going to grow well. And of course, they said they're going to be able to sell their products to the fourth largest purchaser, which has been China. Now, would this do away with what the China's... imposing a buying freeze on the farmers? Do you think that's going to reverse itself too?
You know, hey, miracles happen in the world of manipulated finance. And U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer said the United States would hold off implementing the additional 10% tariffs. And of course, it includes laptops and cell phones. Of course, you're not. You know, it's, you know, I mean, to some degree, it's a good thing, I guess. But doesn't any... Am I the only one in this whole... On the whole planet that, other than a few, we complain about markets being manipulated. We talk about it... We talk about previous administrations and everything else creating the illusions in the world that we live in. I mean, nothing is priced... in its real value. Everything is manipulated. Everything is rigged. Everything is... And everybody is just okay with it.
Yeah.
And yeah. I just don't get it. We talked, and I mentioned this yesterday. I talked about it on Friday. And I understand the importance of the stock market. I understand the importance of having your portfolios and your retirement accounts, your IRAs, your retirement accounts. I understand how they're all tied to the stock market and that it's, you know, it has kept you, it makes you feel good and so forth. But there is risk out there. But it just doesn't seem to matter. They're playing this game with these tariffs. We know next year is an election year. We know what politicians do during election years. We know it's going to be all about Wall Street. So they take these tariffs off, and it's just, it's a game to them. It's a game. And that's what bothers me. Because our lives are not games to be played with.
No, they're not. And it's hurting individuals. I said just farmers. If this is true, and the average farmer is $1,300,000 in debt, Melody, can they pull out of it? It said it's the worst farming crisis in the recent history. That's hurting the farmers where they leave it. I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, that's like playing roulette, with wrestling roulette with an individual's life. That just isn't the right thing to do. The livelihood of these farmers are important.
And so we go back to the statement that Alan Greenspan, the former Federal Reserve Chairman, said. It isn't what we do, it's what we say. This administration enjoys the responses, both to the negative and to the positive. And it's not healthy.
No, and it's not right to play people's lives like that either. It just isn't. It's not right.
You know, and who does it benefit? It doesn't benefit us. It benefits these multinational corporations.
Of course.
You know, and you know, of course, you know, the liberals are always attacking these corporations. Well, you know, they're multinational. They're not U.S. corporations anymore. They have no loyalty to the United States. But if you follow the money, you follow the dollar, follow the dots, the money dots, and it's all connected. It's all connected. You know, and I saw, you know, the headlines about, you know, what's going on in Hong Kong where those troops are amassing at at the border. And I don't know where that goes, Butch.
I don't either, but I just know that, you know, the Hong Kong situation is getting worse. You know, I guess you call it the president of Hong Kong. What is her name? I forgot her name. I'm sorry about that. But anyway, she has been really confronted harshly by the people, and the people are literally ramping up the riots, and they shut down the Hong Kong airport. They canceled all the flights. Now, China, according to some reports, and even Trump saying that his intelligence is pointing to China, is now moving troops to the border of Hong Kong. Hong Kong is a major, major trading port. I don't understand how it's not affecting all of us, because it's a major trading port, of course, with China and all over the world. But the Hong Kong International Airport shut down. All flights going in and out are canceled. Shouldn't that be pretty serious?
I don't know if they're going in and out. I heard that coming in they were open, but going out, departures is what was closed for 2 days in a row. And that's what I said. What, the stock market's down 500 points?
Well, I don't know about it. It's amazing. But I was just reading here trying to find it. Said they even had to move, but some of the flights coming in had to be turned to a different airport to land. I don't know if it's all of them or not, but some of them. But that's huge, Melody. I mean, that is a huge report. Hong Kong is not that big a nation, so it's not like you have four or five major airports, but they are huge in trading. And when Trump said that the Chinese troops are on the border, if they were going in, would there be a war? I don't know. I mean, just questions. Does Hong Kong have an army? I just wonder. Maybe you know the answer to that.
Well, I know the answers to a lot of things, but not that one.
But you know, but really, with a major trading center of the world,
I don't know who protect. You know, they're under.
Well, I'm just amazed that it hasn't affected more trading. I mean, I really am. As you said, the markets seem to be, they're not being fazed by anything. Even something is this big. If China does move in and take over Hong Kong by force, what would the U.S. do?
Well, it's not Hong Kong that's fighting China. It's the people. So it would be a civil war. They wouldn't have a military it's not the military that would be fighting China.
It'd be civil war.
It'd be civil war. From what I understand, the protesters are requesting, it was the one, the extradition, that's been sort of closed down. China has agreed to, I don't know. I don't know if they actually changed it, but they weren't going to enforce it. But there's other things that they're requesting that it doesn't seem like China is going to go along with it. So,
I know the rioters are carrying American flags and playing our national anthem. You tell me what's going on. I don't know.
Only time
will tell.
But
time will tell.
But I guess China's control of Hong Kong, I guess it runs out in 2045.
I thought it ran out already.
No,
I'm sorry. It's the other way around. China come back in.
Around.
I got it. Okay, got you. 2045 is a long ways off.
And they are fighting the communist regime. So at least one country's fighting the communist regime. So.
Can I make one comment on something that happened, and I know everybody's talked about, you probably have too, with Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein. That's been all over the place, you know that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people aren't buying the official story, obviously. And I have an article here from an ex-inmate who was in that jail. And he said it was impossible for Epstein to hang himself with the bed sheet, because the bed sheets are basically just paper. They don't hold up, you know, at all. Said the, and there's no place to hang it from. The beds aren't high enough. He said that according to what we've been told, he put it around his neck and then leaned forward and hung himself just by leaning forward in something. Not from hanging from the ceiling, you're high enough, his feet weren't touching the ground, but by leaning forward. Now, that's a little bit hard to swallow. And this ex-inmate said that he couldn't have done it from the bed because there's a steel frame, you can't move it, and there's no light fixture, and there are no bars. So how did he hang himself, especially when he's 6 foot tall, 200 pounds, and hang it with a paper bed sheet? Something just didn't fit in here. And I wonder, Melody, would they get by with it? Would they be able to make people buy this and move on to something else now?
Sure. I don't know who I told, but when he first went into jail, I said, the guy ain't going to last.
Oh, I heard that. Yes, you're right.
You know, I've said you're that right. From day one, and hey, there's too many powerful people, and we will never have the story, and we will never know their names. And his estate, whoever takes over his estate, will pay for all of those who have, you know, who was,
all the complainers,
those who had the complaints against him, they'll just all get paid off. The guy was worth $500 million.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, that doesn't seem strange to you, too, that the cameras quit functioning just at that point and the guard didn't make the rounds as they're supposed to. It's kind of a massive storm. It all come together by coincidence. I mean, it's just, I think most people realize something going on here.
One thing that bothers me out of this whole thing is because, you know, when something like this happens, you get all kinds of stories, all kinds of things. And yeah, I agree. You know, he was whacked. But the part that upsets me is everybody is saying, oh, this is a, you know, another Clinton deal. So it's like, you know what? There is probably people far more powerful than the Clintons in this. We don't know who. I mean, we know, we claim it's them because we know who they are and so forth, but we don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody's going to know because we're not privy to that information. And
well, what I find interesting... combination of a whole lot of people. Because combination, Clintons, maybe, yeah. A whole bunch of them.
What I find more interesting is that Bill Barr, our attorney general's father, is the one who hired Epstein many years ago. So you have this relationship of everybody. And I guess this is what you have in Washington, D.C. You have families in one way or another who rule things, who control things.
Of course.
So, you know, you it's just not the people we know that we think is the swamp. It's so much deeper than we ever even thought of knowing.
What can confirm what you're saying, the El Paso shooter was only three people away from the man who invented MK Ultra, a guy named Stanford. He was only one person between him and the guy who invented the MK Ultra CIA program, mind control. So that's kind of coincidence, isn't it, that this man was so close to being part of MK Ultra? I don't know. There's just another coincidence.
Are you sure about that, though?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I've studied the article up, and it's for sure, yes. Absolutely.
What I'm sure about, though, is we're heading into a break, so if there's nothing I can do about that, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
We will find you acting on your best behavior.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And yeah, we were a little late getting that newsletter out. In fact, it's probably coming out probably a day late, but there's some great information in there. So you can still get this week's newsletter. And great prices and a pullback. We got 90% silver. We have silver eagles. Anything that you want, we have. So make sure you give us a call. And I did some online comparison shopping with some of the ones, companies that everybody thinks that they're the cheapest around, and they really aren't. At Max, I can beat their pants off. JB or JM Bullion or whoever they are, we're either exactly the same, unless they run some silly specials and they sell things below wholesale. So give us a call at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. What's next, Butch?
All right. This number is so big, Melody, it's hard to even comprehend it. But $3,727,014,000,000 federal spending sets record through July. The Treasury runs $866,812,000,000 deficit. This is CNS News. That is amazing. My mind can go to almost $4 trillion in federal spending sets record. $4 trillion, Melody. And how? You know, I know they manipulate things. I know they print their own money. I know all this. But there are trillions and trillions of dollars in debt, and they can't be paid. Is it because it's too big and can't be paid that they're not afraid to spend anymore? Is that why they haven't the nerve keep on going, because they know they're going to get repaid, so it doesn't make a difference whether they spend another $10 trillion this year or $100 trillion? Is that why they do it? I mean, I'm having a hard time grasping this idea.
Well, the reason they continue to do it is, number one, they can, and number two, this is the amount that's needed in order to keep the economy going. It's all stimulus, ladies and gentlemen. It's all spending in order to keep this economy going. It's not fair. You know, it's and the more that number increases, it goes to show you just how bad the country is. And you know what disturbs me more than anything? Nobody's upset by it.
Yeah, that's the point.
Even conservatives. I have blinders on. I know where I go for my news. I know where I read. I know where I research and so forth. So I don't listen to a lot of chatter out there, because I think a lot of it is wrong, or it's mixed with right. And I listen, but I don't hear much people talk about it. Do you?
No.
Do you?
No, I never hear anybody talk about it. Never, ever, except you. And maybe sometimes at our Bible study and current events, no one ever talks about it. You don't go into a doctor's office, sit down, somebody's talking, did you hear about the latest national debt? No, you don't hear anybody talk about it.
Nobody cares.
I don't think they don't care, which is probably right. Or they can't comprehend the idea that we're trillions of dollars in debt. I don't know that they probably don't care, like you said. It's so big. Maybe that's why they don't care. They can't understand it. Really, I can't either. Yeah, I admit it's just so big that it's hard for our little mind to be able to understand that we're talking about 20-some trillion minimum. It's close, probably closer to $100 trillion in debt. I don't know. I mean, you go figure it out. But I do know this next story, that the mortgage debt hits records, eclipsing 2008. Now, folks, this ought to be scary. One factor could be homeowners tapping into home equity for cash when they refinance. People are hawking their homes. The folks all over the TV say, all over the radio, they want you to hawk your house. That's what it boils down to, folks. So they'll pay you a flat fee or so much a month, and that they buy your house, so to speak. Now, you can always buy it back. But when you can't afford the bills now, how are you going to pay back 10 years later? U.S. mortgage debt reached a record in the second quarter, exceeding its 2008 peak. Now, folks, that's the second quarter. As the financial crisis unfolded, mortgage balances rose by $162 billion in the second quarter to $9.406 trillion, surpassing the high of $9.294 billion in the last quarter of 2008. Mortgages are the largest component of household debt. Mortgage originations, which include refinancing, increased by $130 billion to $474 billion in the second quarter. The figures are nominal, meaning they weren't adjusted for inflation. But it's already worse than it was before the end of 2008, and we're only halfway through the year with fiscal year. Melanie, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money going out. And people having to refinance their homes, I can only imagine. I would hate to think I'd have to do that to keep the bills paid. After working 30 years to pay for a place, you got to refinance to keep food on the table. That's a sad, sad commentary on today's society.
It really is. But our society has come to know debt as a friend. And this is, you know, how we've been conditioned. We didn't go into debt with the idea of, oh boy, let's go into debt so I can buy a new car, new house, new computer, new phones that cost $1,000 and I upgrade it every 2 years. And we've been conditioned into buying things because I don't think it's the person's normal view to go into debt.
No.
But we're conditioned to believe that, you know, we have this unending prosperity that, you know, if we have a bad day in the stock markets, it'll come back. And that nothing can ever go wrong. And how it is today is going to be like this forever.
You're quoting the Bible prophecy.
I hope it was. I mean, I would much rather talk about that than, you know, talk about what I think is going to happen. You know, I would much rather talk about, you know, hey, ladies and gentlemen, you can now go out and buy a brand new car for, you know, $10,000 instead of $70,000. I'd much rather talk about that. But
well, U.S. inflation picks up in July as core prices strengthen, and instead inflation is showing up at the worst place possible for consumers in Walmart. Walmart's finally sending up to raise their prices because inflation is going up. Now, I don't care whether it's 2% or 5% or 10% or 100%, inflation is inflation. We eat away what you have. And Melody, the number one cause of inflation, as we all know, is fiat currency. Is that right?
Well, it's the inflation that we have now.
Yeah, yeah, it's a fiat currency
we have now. I mean, there is an economic inflation, but not to the degree that we have now. Right now, what we're experiencing is fiat currency inflation. It takes more of those dollars to buy things.
Well, you know, it said that it takes 5.2% more in June than it did in the prior year to buy Walmart goods. Companies like Coca-Cola and Pepsi and Procter & Gamble are raising prices. And I think 5% is actually low, just between you and I. I believe that's a very low statement. I think inflation is a lot more than that, real inflation. What's your opinion on that?
People don't get, you know, we talk about 5%, 10%. You know, the one coffee that I treat myself to is Dunkin' Donuts. I like their coffee. So if I'm out doing mail or errands and so forth, I'll drive by and get me a cup of coffee. Well, it went from $2.43 to $2.53. Big deal. It's a dime. That's 10%.
I think it was. Sure it is.
So, sure I mean, it's like multiply that times billions and millions of dollars that they make on a daily basis on a large cup of coffee. It's a lot.
Well,
it's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. Years ago, when I worked in sales full time, I'm sure you have Tudor's Biscuit World where you are. I figure a lot of people know what I'm talking about. When I used to eat biscuits and gravy, which I can't do anymore, but when I did, I could drive through Tudor's and get a biscuit and gravy for 99 cents. Now they're almost $3. How much of an increase is that over a period of 15 years?
Yeah.
You know, that's quite an increase from what a buck could buy just 15 years ago. So it's called inflation, and it adds up over a period of time. 10 plus 10 cents that you just paid extra, next couple months, maybe 10 cents more. And after a while, you'll be paying $3 a cup.
And then, I think it wasn't 10%, it was closer to 5%.
5%, that's true. But yeah. that's still up 10 cents. But when it goes to $3, you know what you're going to do? You're going to continue to buy it. Why? Because we like it, and we do it. That's just the way it is until we get to the point we can no longer do it, until inflation gets so high we can no longer keep up with the inflation. And folks, that is coming to the good old U.S. of A, whether you want to hear it or not. It's coming. It's coming. I'm sure you heard what's happening in Argentina, haven't you?
Yes, we talked a little bit about it yesterday.
I mean, Argentina had a 30% inflation increase. Now, you know, and people don't thought, what do you mean 30%? Their peso devalued 30%, which means a 30% inflation increase. Now, that's a chunk, Melody. If something costs $10 this week and goes up 30%, you know, that's a big chunk.
Well, my coffee, $2.53, would jump to $3 and almost 30 cents.
There you go.
$3.30.
But this happened overnight. This didn't happen over a gradual period of time. Yep. Argentina, it just, boom, it dropped 30% against the U.S. dollar. And stock prices, they said Argentina have dropped 50% in one day. What happened to the Argentina peso? What happened to Argentina got hit like this? Can you tell us what's going on there? What caused this? What behind the scenes do we not know caused this? Is it because they had a fiat currency, because they kept spending money? Is that the same course we're taking?
Well, actually, they had elections.
That's true. And they elected a socialist.
Mm-hmm. And so it was they're blaming the election outcomes as far as what had happened to the currency and so forth. The point is, if they had had a stable currency, if they didn't have the fiat, if they had a stable economy, and so forth, the elections wouldn't have had that large of an impact. But this is what happens, because we all know that our money, our system, truly is based on who the elected official is. That's the power that they have. And we see the same thing here. When I get upset, when one minute the tariffs are on, the next minute the tariffs are off, next minute they're on, off, on, off, on, off. You see the stock markets go up and down, gold go up and down. Stop. That's the power they have to make these. They don't even do anything. They just make these statements. And, it shows you just how vulnerable we are, how vulnerable these markets are, and that one of these days the statement isn't going to make the difference, because it will have gone past the point of no return. But
yes,
we're in an
absolutely.
Election, and this election is I think we're started. You know, manipulations, the deviations, the illusions, or whatever you want to call it, that we normally have in the year of the election a whole lot sooner than what we normally would. I think we started it early this year, months ago.
Well, we did.
Normally
we
wouldn't see until next year.
Well, Trump's never stopped campaigning.
No, he didn't.
He never has stopped. And according to articles I'm reading, the small folks, the small people, small donations, $200 or less, are supporting him like they did the last time. So apparently he still has a base, we'll say, on the lower class, middle class citizens. Financially, I'm talking about, not society, but societal. But financially, the lower middle class are still financing Trump and like what he's done. So I don't know what that's going to mean in the election. I have no idea. I think Trump will probably be reelected. I do. Whether that's good or bad, it's up to the person, I guess, that's what you're thinking about it. But he's been financed again by the small people. So we'll see.
Although I have been reading some things where, you know, I'm not pointing President Trump out. They always talk about their small donors and everything, but trust me, a lot of these politicians have big money behind them. Millions of dollars go into their campaigns, millions and millions. And I don't think you can match the small guy. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it costs for a campaign anymore.
I wouldn't have any idea.
You know, but that's what it comes down to is the amount of money. And yeah, I do believe there's a lot of small donations going to all these campaigns. I mean, you can look at any of these candidates, and they all say the same thing. So, but I was reading like these. So anyway, there's millions of dollars that come in from the big guys too. And that's all of them. And I'm not targeting Trump. It's all of them.
It's all of them. It is. It is.
And that's the issue. That's the problem. That's the problem.
And I want to share this story because I think it's important for a couple of reasons. Illinois shrinking tax base. Residents are leaving and taking their incomes with them. Now, this is a serious situation for some states, not just Illinois, New York, and others. There perhaps no indicator more damning of a state's failure to govern than the flight of its residents to other states. People of every stripe are leaving Illinois. Old and young, rich and poor, they're going to warm states and cold states, big states and small states. Overall, Illinois netted losses of residents to 43 other states in 2016, so they lost people to 43 different states in 2016. That has major implications for the state and the illusionists who remain. I'm sorry, the Illinoisans, I can't even say what they want to say, but since Illinois remain, a shrinking population means a future with less economic growth, less investment, falling real estate values, and an eroded tax base. And as people leave, fewer residents will be left to pay down the state's growing debts, meaning the already massive burden will only get worse. Illinois has netted a loss of 1.5 million people since 2000. I make a comment here, Melody. The population of our state in West Virginia, if it were flattened out, we'd be as big as Texas. The population of states a little bit over 1.5 million. That's a lot of people leaving one state since 2000. As an international immigration and births of Illinois have declined in recent years, they're failing to make up for the Illinois' net out-migration. As a result, the state's population has shrunk 5 years in a row. So Illinois is taxing their people more. More people are leaving, which means more taxes on those who are left, and they can't keep up the price of the taxes. The cost of taxes are going to increase on those who are left to drive out more. And Florida has seen a population boom, and it's going to continue to see it for several years because, and I like this law, a number of the tax laws provisions, including the controversial $10,000 cap on state and local tax, they're called SALT deductions, are set to expire in 2025. But until then, they're gaining, they expect the next 3 years, they'll gain 300,000 new citizens in Florida because people are moving to, I guess, warmer weather, of course, but lower taxation. Now, that's something to think about. Illinois has lost 1.5 million, almost a whole population of the state of West Virginia. And Florida's picked up 300,000. That's quite a move.
Yes, it is. And we're heading into a break right now. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. And I just wanted to clarify something. I misunderstood Butch when he was talking about what had happened with in Texas and in relationship to the MK Ultra and so forth. And it really does seem everyone is just seems to be so connected anymore. And you all you have to do is follow the money. And I mean, we really don't know for sure what is behind someone who is just nuts like that. And I'm sorry, but they are insane, regardless how they got there. But yeah, it's fascinating to connect dots. It truly is fascinating. Yeah.
It kind of puts together a puzzle, doesn't it?
It does. And it's like, yeah, okay. And then you have to look at the end game, and you have to see what else is going on. And I don't know. It's we certainly are in a dangerous, dangerous time.
We are. Just like the Bible says, perilous times. And this next article, I think, is kind of interesting, and I'd like to hear your comment on it. This is, to me, is kind of a amazing and hard to believe, but New Zealand becomes the first country to legalize payment of salaries in crypto. Now, this is a fact, folks. Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies have been on a persistent upswing this year, but they're still pretty volatile. But during a time when even some of the most developed economies in the world are watching their currencies bounce around like the Argentine peso, New Zealand has decided to take the plunge and become the first country to legalize payment in Bitcoin. The ruling in New Zealand's tax authority allows salaries and wages to be paid in cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin from September 1st. As long as the payments are in regular fixed amounts, the digital currency of choice must also be paid to at least one regular currency and must be able to be converted directly into a standard form of payment. This makes New Zealand the first country to legally support payment in crypto. There are, however, some stipulations. In a bulletin dated August 7th, New Zealand's Inland Revenue excluded self-employed taxpayers from earning incomes in cryptocurrencies and added that some companies that choose to pay the employees in Bitcoin or other crypto will be able to withhold taxes on New Zealand's pay-as-you-earn income tax scheme. Melly, that's... Wow. I guess you'd call it direct deposit almost, couldn't you? Companies paying direct deposit. There's not a lot of difference. Both of them are just digits on a computer. Is that not true?
That is true.
So, Bitcoin...
Well, actually, the way you could actually look at it is more like a bartering. Because the Wellington's Inland Revenue defines crypto assets as property, noting that crypto assets are not defined as money anywhere, and therefore are not legal tender. However, the authority will tax the crypto salaries as money. Of course, they're not going to let people get paid and not tax them, but they're not recognized as money. So basically, to some degree, it's like a bartering situation. You're bartering your labor for property. It's not money. So
wow,
it's kind of interesting. But it seems like the authority was going to tax it as money, because of course they're not going to let people make something without taxing it, even though they have it has the characteristics of money, but it is not money. It's property. So,
you really cleared up. You made it clear as mud to me now. You got me more confused than I was. How's Bitcoin property?
Well, it's not real to begin with, but that's how the country of New Zealand and their red tax revenue department is looking at it. They can't look at it as money. It's property.
But it can't be property either because
it has money.
It can't be property either because there's nothing there. There's nothing substantial. Nothing.
I get that. But I mean, for the sake of argument and sort of defining what New Zealand is doing, and it remains to be seen whether anybody is going to accept this payment for wages. I mean, we don't know who is going to, you know, because the thing of it is, when you're paid through these cryptos, it's kind of stupid because of the fluctuations in prices. I mean,
it can be very large
and rapid.
But they said this had to be converted and be converted directly into a standard form of payment. Could that be the U.S. dollar or the currency from New Zealand? What would that directly be converted to?
Well, again, that might not benefit a person either because it depends on what the currency exchange is. So, I mean, they would be gambling on, you know, it'd be like that they'd be playing the currency market. So, I don't know. It's stupid. I don't know if this is a test. You know, they always try things out before they, you know, implement it. But I don't know if your article said anything. Will these people actually, do they have a choice?
He didn't say anything about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just want to share this from memory.
But you know what? Let me just say one more thing. You know,
people think
that by going into these cryptocurrencies that they're being, you know, they're being private. Government's going to get you one way or another.
Oh, they're not private. Nothing on the computer is private.
And we've talked on this program, too, about how you're only allowed to take, $50,000 out of China? And that most of your cryptocurrencies, the major money players, are in the Asian countries. You know, so the black market, you know, cryptos is used in the deep dark web. You know, it's probably currencies that maybe Epstein used so he could do his dirty deeds. It's like, why would anybody want to support that?
I don't care whether you're not
in that realm and you're just trading a little bit on your little computer and so forth. Oh, I'm trading in, you know, cryptocurrencies and so forth. But you're really supporting the bad things also. So,
well, it is phenomenal. Like I said, nothing's private. If it's done on a computer, you better believe it's not private.
Right.
Not even close.
Yeah,
you know, I was thinking back to this before our time even, when people used to pay their employees with gold and silver coins. Well, they weren't taxed. I mean, how do you tax a gold coin? You scrape out part of it and send it to the government? I mean, so they weren't taxed. The income tax was not even around at the time, basically. So people were paid directly in real money. Then I remember as a young man, even up in my 30s, the coal mines in our area pay with cash. They didn't give you a check. You went in. They paid you in cash. Now, I assume they withheld some money out of it for the federal estate. I don't know that. But they paid in cash, which means they actually give you something in your hand and walk away with it. Then, of course, they went to check. You had a check given to you. Then they went to direct deposit, and that's where I get some funds myself, and I hate direct deposit. There's nothing ever changed hands that you can touch. So Bitcoin's the same way. It's just a boop, boop on a computer. And they say you're paid. That is not real. That is, there's no substance there. And it may work for a while to see the people, just like your fiat currency does. But eventually, it's going to catch up to us, isn't it?
Yes, it will.
So, anyway, that's my opinion on that.
What's next?
Well, I thought this interesting. San Jose mayor proposes requiring gun owners to buy liability insurance. What do you think about that? I mean, isn't that amazing? Would that be another tax? Would that be a tax on gun owners, basically? Would that be what it is? said San Jose, the 10th largest city in the country, is first to propose a harm reduction policy aimed at stopping gun violence. How is that going to stop gun violence? But anyway, where these measures will definitely end, gun violence very much remains to be seen. The city council approved the measure. All gun owners in the city will need to purchase private liability insurance. Think about that. And if they can't afford that, they'll have to pay a fee that goes into a pool to cover cops' expenses and whatever, city's expenses, when somebody gets shot. But again, it's amazing that they can do that to gun owners in a city now. And if it goes to California, it will come to us eventually, wherever you are. But I will say this about West Virginia. Thank God for some common sense right now, at least in our state legislators. Two lawmakers proposed a red flag law in West Virginia. The rest of the lawmakers said, we will uphold the Constitution in this country. There'll be no red flag laws in West Virginia. Now, will that end? Of course it's going to end. The federal government will do something to cause this to fall apart here. But San Jose, California is going to make you buy liability insurance if you own guns. Now, that is a tax on gun owners. I don't care how you put it. I don't care how you say it. That's exactly what is happening around the country to make people either not buy them or can't afford to keep them. And I will tell you right now that laws, insanity laws that they pass to restrict people for whatever reason, may not stop at guns. Think about this. Now, please think about this. What if they say, all right, you're insane, you can't own a gun. You can't own a gun, so we're going to come and take them. What if that turns into the point where if you protest what the government says, or you stand in opposition to what's happening in the country for any reason, like it was in Soviet Union, and they deemed them insane and put them in asylums? Could it happen in America? It's not only can happen, folks, it is happening. So once you let that camel get its nose under the tent flap, so to speak, it's going to come right on in. If they can declare you insane to the point that you lose the ability to purchase a firearm, they can declare you insane to the point that you will be called unstable if you question government leaders, laws they pass, you stand against homosexuality, whatever they want to do. They can call you insane, a psychopath, if you will. So we're heading down a very, very, very slippery slope. The masses will probably never see it. And it's sad to say that the masses probably won't ever care, because the masses will never take a stand against anything and open their eyes to the truth about anything, because they're content with their status quo. They're happy with what they have as far as ball games and hot dogs and a beer. As long as they have that, I see no problem with the masses coming together and sticking together and calling us fanatics, conspiracy theorists, rednecks, whatever you want to call us. But with these type of so-called law being passed, where someone will judge your sanity on their own standards, or whoever standard they choose to bring forth as the status quo, we're all in danger in a lot of different ways. Please understand that. And economically, spiritually, physically, this nation is in decay. Mostly spiritually, morally, the nation is falling apart, literally falling apart morally. I mean, a cancer started in this country 20 years ago, we'll call homosexuality, sexual perversion. And it's spread across the country to the point now we have drag queens and I'm not making this up, you can check it out for yourself, drag queens in public libraries teaching children how to twerk. And I didn't know what a twerk was until I watched it. Now I know what a twerk is. But this is happening. And with this type of moral decay, the rest has to follow. The rest has to follow. So when you become an individual who finally says, enough is enough, I'm not going to tolerate this anymore, I'm going to speak up, watch for you to be declared mentally unstable, possibly a danger to yourself and others, a hater, if you will. You lose your rights to own firearms, and I will say, folks, it's not a right, it's a duty, but you'll lose that ability. You'll be questioned beyond that point, maybe losing a job, even your retirement, private retirement, or even federal or state retirements. We can lose it all. Matter of fact, the Bible says we will in the last days. So these are things that you need to understand and comprehend. And folks, if you're wise enough to do this, I hope you will. I wish to goodness I could do more. You'll call Melody at 800-375-4188. Now, folks, I realize I'm talking to a lot of people right now. I realize that. And you're talking to a hillbilly here. I am just Pastor Butch Paul from Podunk, West Virginia. I know that. But I'm speaking to you as a friend, as a family. And I know this may sound totally off the wall and corny, but I actually care. I wouldn't be here. I care. And I don't want to see you suffer needlessly. Please don't put your faith in man's ideas of what he thinks is going to be a good thing for the future. Do what the Bible teaches and protect yourself and your family. A wise man sees trouble coming in and prepares for it. Trouble is not only coming, trouble's already here. So call Melody up and say, I can't do much. Here's $500. What can I do with it? You can do something with that, I promise. 800-375-4188. Because I started this back in the early 90s, one silver dollar at a time. I paid my house and land off 17 years early. You can do the same thing. You can't just sit around thinking about it. Folks, I appreciate you. By the grace of God, I'll see you in my broadcast tonight at 8 o'clock on 6115 Shortwave and other places. See you next week with Melody. Have a great evening. Good night.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.